Young people are certainly hungry to change the world, but they are often not given the chance. There is a new book that helps empower them to make change happen. It is entitled Putting Peace First, Seven Commitments to Change the World. Eric Dawson is the author. He is CEO and co-founder of Peace First, and he is our guest on the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Very nice to have you on the program. What brought you to these ideas, these seven ideas, to present to young people as a way of fostering change?
So I helped start Peace First as a young person. I was 18 years old. I had grown up in Central Ohio and, like many young people, was frustrated a lot with both the problems of the world and then doubly frustrated that I felt powerless to do anything about it. So when I was 18, with other young people, started this organization, Peace First, which really has as its foundation that young people are not merely problems to be solved, but actually problem solvers. And in fact, some of our most powerful problem solvers, because of their proximity to the issue, their ability not to be stuck in historic ways of thinking. And so for 20-some years, Peace First has been working with young people all over the globe to create powerful projects to make their communities stronger, safer, more just. And what I want to do with this book is to translate all of that wisdom that I've learned from young people who are tackling issues from cyberbullying to gender equity to climate change, to create a how-to guide, a tangible, inspirational roadmap for young people.
The book is designed for 10 and up. And what's fascinating is that you make the point that 10, 11, 13, 15, you can have a great impact on your community.
That's exactly right. You know, so much of our message for young people is that they're the future. And I get that. I mean, I get this idea of thinking about this younger generation, the next generation, as possibilities, potential. The shadow side to that is when we tell young people that you're going to be a great leader, artist, writer, activist someday, it takes them out of the equation. They're no longer agents of change. And so what I realized is that we teach young people how to read. We teach them math skills. But we don't teach these critical building blocks of what it means to be a citizen, which is not voting, although voting is a piece of it. But it's having a stake in our common good, in our commonwealth, and then being active participants in shaping that, expanding the circle of justice, inviting others in. And there's no age limit when that can start.
The subtitle of the book is Seven Commitments to Change the World. That's a very specific word, commitment, isn't it?
You know, when I was putting this book together, I really started with this idea of a manifesto. And I like this idea of inviting young people to join something, to be part of something. And what a manifesto is ultimately a commitment, right? It's a pledge. It's making an agreement to do something, but also to be someone. You know, we spend a lot of time asking young people, what do you want to do when you grow up? But we don't invest in the similar energy around who do you want to be? And so the idea of talking about commitments was thinking about helping young people to be someone that they wanted to be. And so the commitments are about not just what you do, but who you are and how you show up in the world.
When you think of commitments, are we all given the tools, the abilities to engage and to start and to make those commitments?
You know, in the Tao, there's an expression that's phrased quoted quite often, that a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. And I read recently a different translation that said a better way to translate it is a journey of 1,000 miles starts with the decision to walk. And this idea that it's in that moment when we decide we're going to do something that our power lies. And so what I wanted to invite young people to do is to make that commitment, to make that internal alignment, to be a peacemaker, right? To be compassionate, to be courageous, to bring others along, to work across lines of difference. And it's in that first commitment, that first step, or rather that decision to take that first step, that the power lies. And then what the book does is then say, okay, here's how you do it. Here are the steps, here are the exercises, And in addition to walking through the seven commitments, and each of those commitments is grounded in a story of a young person's journey, the second half is a how-to guide. Okay, how do you put that? How do you embody that? How do you bring those ideas to life?
How political is the act of putting peace first, in the sense of when you look at these commitments, how political are these commitments, and not even intentionally?
It's a great question. I think it gets down to how we define political, right? So if we think about it, you know, from the Greek poly, these are really exercises in the common good, right? The shared space as opposed to private space. And so in that sense, this book is all about politics. It's all about being political. It's about being engaged in your community, right? So part of the exercises are, who's someone you disagree with and don't get along with at school? Go and talk to that kid tomorrow. Or what's a problem you see in your community? What can you do differently? Or who's someone who's invested in that problem? Go interview them and find out what keeps them up at night. What are they passionate about? Political in terms of political parties and Democrats and Republicans is a whole different issue. But the sense that young people are citizens, they're members of a community, they're stakeholders, and that doesn't start magically when you become 18. It's a responsibility that young people have, as we all do, and they don't have to wait to exercise that responsibility.
Where does leadership fit in the sense, I mean, obviously these young people can become leaders and it gives them the power that you were talking about, but there has to be an umbrella, right? There has to be something that is guiding this group through these commitments.
So I want to pull that apart in two questions. So one is this idea of leadership, and one of the things I think is so constraining is that we have very limited ideas about what a leader looks like, both in terms of potentially gender and race, but also in terms of what exercising leadership looks like. So what I tried to do in this book is really honor the different ways that people lead, particularly young people. Maybe it's in front of the room, or maybe you're the person taking notes in the back, or maybe you're the person who's making sure that everybody's following along. Right, each one of those is a leadership stance and a piece of leadership work. And so what I help young people do is really to uncover their own superpowers as a leader in terms of what they can do and they can create. There's also, I think, a little bit of a misconception about young people, and I think this, again, comes from a good place, which is that young people need adults to guide them. And I think that comes from this general and generous place of wanting to help young people and care about young people, but it also negates young people's power. You know, so what I tell adults is the most powerful language, the most powerful words you can speak to a young person is, how can I help? How can I help? Because that does two things. So one is you're offering support, but the second thing is it puts the power in the young person to decide what that help looks like. So I think adults, I think after-school programs, faith-based programs play a crucial role in supporting young people's development and peacemaking work. But we've got to drive it behind young people's visions, commitments, and activities.
When it comes to putting peace first, I guess we have to know what we're looking for, right? We have to have an idea of what peace looks like or what we want it to look like.
That's right. And what I'm trying to do is to reimagine the language around peace. And we tend to think about peace as mushy and soft, as passive. And one of the reasons I wanted to choose the word and add the making part to it is to make peacemaking something muscular, but also accessible. You don't have to wait someday to be a peacemaker. You can do it now. And it's actually not about being passive. It's about being active. And what I want to invite young people to do is to use and claim that word and to expand it to include all the great activity they do to be compassionate, courageous, and collaborative in their work.
The name of the book is Putting Peace First, Seven Commitments to Change the World. Eric Dawson, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, Putting Peace First. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.